We're celebrating Independence Day this weekend, and there's lots of different thoughts that go into that. And one of the things I hope that it prompts us to do is to be interceding for our nation. Whenever we focus on our nation and celebrate our nation, we ought to be saying, Lord, reach down, touch our nation, restore our nation, guide our nation, heal our nation, and think about what our nation most needs. The greatest need of our nation is a healthy, vibrant church. A church that is listening to God, a church that is empowered by God, a church that is living out God's character and God's will and God's fruit and extending God's kingdom. The need of America, the need of the United States of America, the need for our world is a revived church, a healthy, vibrant church. And of course, a church is people. The word church in the New Testament is the word for assembly. Assembly. It's the church is the assembling together of those who belong to Jesus. It's those who have been touched by Jesus, saved by Jesus, rescued by Jesus, and those who are on the journey towards that happening in their own life that assemble together, and that's the church. Not a building, not an organization, not a structure, not rules and laws, but church is people. Church is the assembling together of the saints. And so what we need most as a nation is a vibrant, healthy church. So I want to talk today from Revelation chapter 3 about having God heal our lukewarm hearts. And the reason this hit me, maybe it'll hit you, is that I am prone to lukewarmness. I can be hot one moment, and then it seems like I back away from the stove and I start losing my heat. I know you've picked up that cup of coffee and it's been sitting there too long and it's no longer hot. It's tepid. It's like, ooh, that's not good anymore. Some of you like iced coffee, and I've tried that, and it's a lot better than lukewarm coffee, but still not my favorite. But we start losing our heat. We start losing our fervency. We start losing our hunger for God. We start becoming complacent. We need God to do something in us individually. I think God wants to bring healing to each of our hearts so that we're not lukewarm individuals, we're not lukewarm Christians, and that will lead to the changing of the condition of the church, which will lead to the healing of America. I believe there's a demonic lie that's floating around. The devil is a liar, and he sends out his servants to propagate his lies. And one of the lies is that lukewarmness is normal. And the reason that lie sometimes gains traction is because lukewarmness is common. We see it all around us. We see it even in us. Lukewarmness is common, but it's not normal. It's not what God expects of us. It's not what the Bible teaches us. Lukewarmness is not normal. It is abnormal. And also, some people believe the lie that lukewarmness is incurable. That it's just going to be the way it is. And so just get used to it, put up with it in our church, in ourselves, in our people around us, in our family. Lukewarmness, that's just incurable. It's just the way it is. It's a lie. God has the cure for lukewarmness. God has the cure, and it's an easy cure. And I invite you today to let God heal your lukewarm hearts and restore them to the proper health that God intends for them. The book of Revelation is where we're going to be. And if you open the first pages of the book of Revelation, you'll see a more accurate picture of Jesus. And Jesus in chapter 1 is aflame. He is blazing. He is white hot. White from head to toe. Hands holding blazing stars. Face gleaming. Jesus on fire. That's what he looks like today. And that's what he invites us to. So when you turn to Revelation chapter 3, this message is to a lukewarm church. And it's a message to bring hope to each one of us. I want you to have hope today. You can be healed of your lukewarm heart. Where does it start? Luke, or the author writes, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. This message starts with a recognition of who's the speaker. It's Jesus who is speaking, and he's speaking to an assembly of believers in a particular town. And these messages, the seven different churches that actually existed, are for us. The church today receives these same seven messages. The church in Laodicea heard Jesus speaking to them. And he introduces himself as the Amen. The Amen means truly, the one who has a message of truth for us. The one who speaks truth into our hearts. And he's the faithful and true witness. The word witness is martyr in Greek. It's the one who speaks the message regardless of how much it costs him, even if it requires the laying down of his life. Jesus is the speaker here, and he's the beginning of God's creation, and he's actually the re-creation. When God says he's the creator, that means that he's still the creator. And when God says, look what I've done, it's a reminder what he can now do again. God is speaking to this congregation of us, this assembly of saints, and he's saying, I've got a message for you. Remember who it is I am. I'm speaking to you, and he is the one who not only created, but is recreating right now. Right now, in each heart, everyone who's listening, everyone who's reading this word along with me, and letting this word sink into their spirits, God is saying to us, I can recreate you. What was is not what has to be in the future. The future is not dependent upon history. The future is dependent upon the work of Christ in the moment and in that future. If God is speaking, God is creating. And God is creating his will in us. And his will for you is the opposite of a lukewarm heart. It's a fervent heart. Jesus is the speaker. The faithful and true witness recreating us. The next verse for our second point. Not only, point number one, is Christ the answer to our lukewarm heart. Christ is the answer to our lukewarm heart. Point number two, Christ rebukes the lukewarm heart. Christ rebukes the lukewarm heart. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. Jesus speaks and he says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's a rebuke. That's Christ rebuking the lukewarm heart. Which means he's rebuking us if we're lukewarm. Jesus says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. What an image. What a horrific image. He's speaking to a church, and he's saying, I'm going to spit you out. That's a wake-up call. That's a warning. That's a rebuke. There is something nauseous to Jesus about lukewarmness in a Christian. And so when I struggle with lukewarmness, I realize that that's offensive to God. That's nauseous to God. Jesus does not want me to be lukewarm, and he does not want you to be lukewarm. But when Jesus brings a rebuke, that is corrective so that we can be healed. This is not just something that causes us to go, oh, woe is me. Certainly there's that, but it also should be hope-inducing. When Jesus corrects something, it's because he knows it can be corrected. There's a healing on the other side of the rebuke. Jesus is saying, don't be lukewarm. I hate lukewarmness. And so there's an invitation there to have our hearts healed. Christ says, I will spit you out of my mouth. What is lukewarmness? Lukewarm Christianity is non-committal. It's indecisive. It's duplicit. It's double-minded. It's tamed down. It's someone who doesn't want anything from God and doesn't even want God. It makes God nauseous. It's an insult to God. In our family, our church family, we have three engaged couples. I don't even know if you know who all three of them are, but three engaged couples. Imagine if the fiancé calls her up and says to his sweetheart, "Hey, I'd like to come over and spend the evening with you. We can do something together." And she says, "You know, I'd rather just stay home and watch my show. I'd rather just be alone. I'm really not interested in spending time with you. I'm good. I really don't want your attention. I don't want you to come over. Stay away. I'm okay." Now, we couldn't imagine an engaged couple acting that way. We expect an engaged couple to not be able to keep their hands off each other, to want to be together every moment, to always be arms around each other and sneaking kisses every time they can. That's what we expect to see. We expect an engaged couple to be fervent in their love. We might tease them about it, but we're really glad to see it. We want that. We want that. My eldest boy took seriously our instructions to guard his heart and wait for the special one. And he eventually met a girl at Bible school and got engaged. And we got to be part of this wonderful wedding. And I got to say at the end of it, "You may now kiss your bride." He had never kissed her on the lips, he said, until that moment. And what a kiss. I had to interrupt and say, "That's enough." I said, "Yeah, kiss her, but you know, we got a dinner to get to. Stop it. Enough of that kissing." We want engaged couples to be fervent. In fact, we want every couple to be fervent. I joked about this with the kids at camp that Lisa couldn't stay away from me for 5 nights. She had to come to Bible camp and be with me because she just can't keep her hands off me, I said. And the giggles that went around the room, it was pretty funny. But I think a couple who love Christ ought to love each other and ought to let that love infect the people around them as they're hot in their relationship. Well, what about our relationship with Jesus? It ought to be a hot relationship. Jesus rebukes lukewarmness. The third thing he does, number three, Christ exposes the lukewarm heart. Christ exposes the lukewarm heart. This is from verse 17. "For you say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing,' not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." See, a lukewarm heart is someone who says, "I'm good, I don't need you, God. I've got everything I need. I'm rich, I've prospered, I have nothing that I need." Not even realizing their true condition. Did you hear these words that Jesus used to describe these people? He says to a person in a church, to the church in Laodicea, he says, "You are wretched. You are pitiable," or pitiful, we might say. "You are poor, you are blind, you are naked. Your condition is horrible. Wake up and realize it. You're not good. You can't stay how you are." See, lukewarmness causes pride, causes arrogance, causes a person to be self-impressed. And the result is they're not even talking to God or asking God for anything. In other words, they're prayerless. They don't pray because they don't need anything. "I don't need you, God." They lack a hunger for God or anything from God. That's lukewarmness. And in God's eyes, such a heart is actually wretched. Pitiable, poor, blind, naked. "I don't want you, God. I'm okay the way I am." They don't connect with God. Jesus spits that kind of person out. Number four, though. After describing the condition, number four, Christ offers healing to the lukewarm heart. Christ offers healing to your lukewarm heart. I want you to hear that right now. Hope right now. Let hope sink in right now. Jesus offers healing to your lukewarm heart. What does he say? He says in Revelation 3:18, "I," Jesus speaking, "I counsel you. I advise you. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be truly rich. And buy for me white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And buy for me salve to anoint your eyes so that you may truly see." Jesus speaks to that lukewarm heart. He says, I give you this instruction, this advice, this counsel. Buy from me the solution. I have what you need. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am what you need. Reach out your hands. Desire these things from me, these aspects of me. Jesus is the cure for the lukewarm heart. He says you need gold refined by fire. You're not rich. You're actually poor because you don't have that which is really valuable. You don't have the glory of God. You don't have that connection to God. You don't have the ability to see God's manifest presence. So he's saying to them, get from me, buy from me what you really need, true riches, the glory, the kingdom of God. And buy from me white garments, the healing of your sin, the removal of your sin, the washing away of your sin. He says these white garments are going to cover the shame of your nakedness, implying all the sexual sins that go on. Christ offers white garments, his righteousness, in the place of our sin, and salve that you may see. How sad that many have eyes that never see Jesus. Eyes that never are receiving revelation. Our God is on the move constantly, but many are walking around with eyes closed, eyes that don't work, eyes that need spiritual healing. And Christ is offering to these lukewarm Christians the cure of their blindness, of their spiritual blindness. Gold refined in fire, white garments, salve for your eyes. The result is that we then would be healed, so there's a true hunger for God and his personal manifest presence. There's repentance in the areas of moral impurity. There's single-minded devotion so we can see God's manifesting personal presence. Jesus wants you to seek his provision. This is an invitation. When Christ points something out, points a need out, and then offers, then counsels and advises, take what I have for you, buy what I have for you, it's an invitation for us to say yes to him. I give you hope today for healing of your lukewarm heart. It's Jesus and his provision. Receive from him that true gold, that true riches, those white garments, that removal of the stain of sin, the salve that makes it so you can see him and have eyes that are open to his revelation. So Jesus offers this healing to us, this healing of our lukewarm hearts. And then our fifth point is that Christ then gives us this lasting cure for our lukewarm hearts. He gives it to us. Notice verse 19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. In case you got stuck on him saying, I spit out of my mouth those who are lukewarm, make sure you get to this verse 19 where he says, those whom I love. Those whom I love. He's writing to people that he loves. He loves you. He loves you even when you're drifting into lukewarmness. He loves you so much that he speaks. He loves you so much that he offers. He loves you so much that he gives the cure that you so desperately need. He does it for me, and I'm so thankful and overwhelmed with gratitude. I just can't get this message out of my head for 2 weeks. Christ is in the process of curing my lukewarmness, and he is in the process of curing your lukewarmness. And that is healing the lukewarmness of the American church, and that is what's healing our nation. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Love. You are invited here to receive God's love. Receive his healing, redemptive, white, hot love. A love that's so intense that when it sees you going astray, it steps in and it disciplines and it corrects and it gives a loving reproof so that you're not going the wrong direction, so that you're called back into intimacy with him. Receive that love. Respond in faith to that love. Jesus loves so much that he's speaking to you, calling you in to this hot relationship. Receive his love. Then exchange your lukewarm heart for his white hot zeal. It says, be zealous. When you see a command in Scripture, a verb that says do something, it says be zealous, you need to not let yourself fall into a soul response. By soul, I mean our mind and our will and our emotions. It's the you that's controlled by you. You can't be zealous out of your soul. A lot of people try. They try to work something up. They try to say, okay, I've got to be on fire for God, so I'm going to try harder. But you're going to wear yourself out. This is one of the dangers of a week at Bible camp. Those of you who are at Bible camp this week, there's a danger of saying, I've got to keep this fire going, this intensity going, this sense I had when I was there in the Bible every day and surrounded by other Christ followers every day. I'm going to do this. But the reality is that true zeal for God comes from God. Comes from God. You need to receive God's zeal in your spirit. It is his zeal in your heart that enables you then to want him, to hunger for him, to seek him, to be in connection with him. When it says, be zealous, it's not an instruction for you to do something in your flesh. It's an instruction for you to let God do that in you. Make you zealous. It ought to turn into a prayer. Lord, you tell me to be zealous, so you must be the one who provides the zeal. Give me that zeal for you, that desire for you. So you receive that zeal from God, and then it says, repent. Repent. It's interesting that repent is last in this list. I would think it'd be first. But that's because I get in the way of what God's trying to do. He first says, receive my love, and then receive my zeal, and then he says, repent. Repent is then enabled by the things we receive from God first. We turn from the distractions. We turn from the world, the flesh, and the devil. We turn from those things that pull us away from God. We invite God to change our habits. We receive the ability to turn, to repent. Then point number six, Christ will replace your lukewarm heart with a heart that's in close intimacy with him. That's the lasting cure. The replacing of our lukewarm heart with a heart that's in close intimacy with him. Revelation 3:20, it's a verse we love. It's oftentimes misused as a verse talking about someone coming into salvation. It's not a salvation verse. It's a Christian being invited to have a white hot love for God again. It's a verse inviting us to leave behind lukewarmness and enter into a zealous relationship with God. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. This is Jesus saying, I want to be close to you, to enjoy the most intimate of meals together with you. It starts with the word, behold. Behold is that word that means look, see, wake up, notice. And whenever God says that, it's also an activating word. It's an empowering word. If God says, behold, that means he's giving you the ability to behold. And so when God says, behold, not only should you become alert, you should say, Lord, I receive the ability to behold this. I want to see this and continually see it. It's a promise of intimacy. It's a promise of being with Jesus. Jesus is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm here. I want you. I want to be close to you. Open the door, and I will be with you. See, the ultimate cure for the lukewarm heart is the manifest presence of Christ in our life. It's simple. The lukewarm heart is not incurable. It's easily cured. It's Jesus who does the curing, the healing, the restoring. He's the hope. He's the one that invites us then to experience victory. Verse 21 and 22 is our seventh point, the hope. Christ gives hope to those who have suffered from lukewarm hearts. Look what he says. The one who conquers, or the one who is a conqueror, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You are called by Christ a conqueror. You are called by Christ an overcomer. You are called by Christ a victorious one. You are the one who gets victory over lukewarmness. You are the one that enters into intimacy with your Savior. You are the one that dines with him, who opens doors and invites him in. You are the one who has a fervent relationship with God. It's not a different personality. It's not you being loud and boisterous. It's not you changing. You could be still quiet. You could still be reserved. But inside of you is a connection to Christ, a zeal for Christ, a hunger for Christ, is Christ himself in all of his character, making you like him and making you hunger for hearing his voice. Eyes that see, white garments, true riches, connection to Christ. Friends, lukewarmness is very curable. It's not normal. Christ is calling you to have a zealous, fervent love for him. Let's receive it today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you do rebuke what's wrong in us so that it could be corrected. We receive from you today the healing of our lukewarm hearts. In fact, we receive a replacing of lukewarm hearts with a heart in true connection to you. We receive hunger for you. We receive desire for you. We receive zeal for you. We receive fresh hope. We receive fresh confidence. We receive a new name. We're conquerors. We're the overcomers. We're the victorious ones who live out a love relationship with you from this day forward. So Lord, do what you need to do in us to keep us on track. If the devil tries to sneak up and tempt us and derail us and lead us astray, Lord, give us eyes to see his tactics and the ability to reject it and keep turning towards your face. We receive zeal from heaven. We receive you as Savior, as indwelling Spirit, as ongoing counselor and instructor, as empowerer, as the one who's making us day by day more like Jesus in thought and in word and in deed. And Lord, we invite you to use us as zealous believers to bring healing to our whole congregation, healing to our families, healing to our communities, healing to our nation. The hope of our nation is a white, hot, zealous church. We receive it for the glory of God. In Jesus' name.